Hey everybody, Radical Russ here at the Northwest Cannabis Classic Day 1, and I've run into a bona fide reality star, Chip Hailstone, his wife Agnes from Nat Geo's Life Below Zero. How are you doing?
We're doing excellent, better than about 10 minutes ago before we were through the door.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and certainly way above zero here in Anchorage. It's summertime out there, like 60, 70 degrees.
Yep, 4 days ago we snow machined to Kotzebue. We flew down here and we're in our t-shirts. This is awesome.
It's nice out here. So you've been doing this show now, you said, what, is it the fourth season you're filming now?
Fourth year, and it's the seventh season because you divide them into two, summer and winter.
Oh, okay, so.
No idea why.
And for the folks that don't have cable or haven't seen your show, give them a basic idea of what the show's about.
The show basically watches me and my wife and our family for 4 days. They get what they get, whether we get something or not, and we are subsistence hunters, fishers, and gatherers. And we basically make a living from the land by hunting, gathering, and getting our own food, our own fuel for heating our house. And then we take the other products from them, like antlers, ivory, skins, and we make museum displays. And those displays make us enough money to buy more gas and parts and go out and go do it again.
So you're up above the Arctic Circle, living off the land, and they're out there just filming the travails, the ups and downs, and the danger that you guys face up there, you know, bears, wolves, all sorts of stuff, right?
Yep, you basically hit it, except for we're the most dangerous thing on the tundra to the bears and the wolves.
So. And the caribou, I understand?
Oh, and the caribou, that's our favorite food. So yeah, we gotta run them down. None of this stuff is harvested. We're not farmers. I hate that word because I'm a hunter. And nothing stands still and wait for us. We have to look for it, we have to track it, we have to hunt it down, we have to take its life, and then we have to process it. So the work only, it never stops. Work is only work is a work, because we're either working to get there or we're working when we've got it.
So how many hours a day are you spending, you know, to survive?
Well, we sleep 9 hours a day because we got to be rested, and then the rest of the day is probably spent on either taking care of the kids, taking care of the house, taking care of the camp, taking care of the boat, or whatever needs to be done. And we're always in a kind of a constant state of flux. We move all the time, and we take our kids with us most of the times, but now the three youngest kids are in school, so we're kind of sedate in the fall time and half of the winter, and then me and the wife take off. And the older children have either their own homes and their own families, or the ones that don't yet are off running, like with their heads cut off, basically exploring the world. And we kind of, you know, help that too. Kick them money and give them jobs to do, and try to let them see what it is that we do and how we make a living. And if they want to follow that, great. And if not, they can go off to college and the other things that they've done and just enjoy themselves.
How long have you been living this way?
Well, me and her have been together for 25 years. She's my first wife. I'm her second husband. But we've been living like this since we got together, huh? So maybe 27 years now.
Wow. And what's the... Ever close to death? I imagine so, right?
Well, close to death because we are death. Yes, we're basically running things down because we hunt things. And we've had a few close calls ourselves, and it's sure. Something we're avoiding like any other animal, you know, out there. But we're the humans, and we're part of the ecosystem, and we look at ourselves as kind of the top predator. And other than that, we look at ourselves as providers and hunters. And in my wife's social life, and not her social life, but in her whole society, it's all based around hunting. So there's the sharing, there's the good food, there's the clean food, there's the hard work that goes with it and the health. And when I'm 90, I'll probably still be walking around looking for caribou.
So we're at the Northwest Cannabis Classic. How much does cannabis work into your life as far as, you know, natural medicine and sustenance?
Well, you know, I was an occasional smoker until about maybe 4 years ago, and then we had some troubles come upon us, and to tell you the truth, to take the stress out of the end of my day, I'd spark up a joint probably about, you know, once or twice a week, and I quit drinking alcohol in 2000, and if I feel like having myself a joint or something, I'm kind of sporadic, and it's a here and there thing. But I do enjoy getting stoned, I must admit that. And I like taking the end of my day and relaxing and letting the aches go away and just hitting the bed and sleeping hard. I find myself like if I don't have weed, not really any different, but the relaxation aspect isn't always there. I don't like laying in bed wanting to take like aspirin or Tylenol to relax my back or to get my hand working again or to take the chill away, because the cold really works your body out. And my wife, she's a fairly regular smoker, so I just go hit her up and say, hey, pass that thing on over here.
Yeah. That's excellent. And being north of the Arctic Circle, of course, you know, half the year the sun's not even there. So how difficult is it to come by cannabis around your parts?
Oh, cannabis is very common. Folks have been smoking here in Alaska for a long time. There's a lot of folks up there that smoke themselves. And then, of course, there's the black market that's got a heavy undercurrent. And nobody really disturbs that or hasn't disturbed that because alcohol is a felony to have up there.
Talking about it like native lands or something? Or?
No, not native lands. Actually, the borough voted alcohol to be illegal, and only Kotzebue sells it. And And I myself am a fireman and an EMT, and my wife too, and because we need to save ourselves, sometimes you got to save other people. But we've had a trail of destruction between Kotzebue and villages there because people will drink and crash, or drink and get lost, or just, you know, be stupid, basically. You know, stupid, same thing, it's alcohol. But I haven't ever once picked up anybody with broken arms, you know, from marijuana. I've never once dealt with a fight or domestic violence. I've never once dealt with a house fire that didn't involve marijuana, didn't involve alcohol. So it's kind of a crazy thing. I can blatantly see the benefits of people being able to relax, enjoy their day, and socialize through the aspects of using marijuana and the dabs and the other stuff versus having a drink at night with their buddies. And it is a much better thing. And so we're here, and we're thinking of getting into the retail aspect of it all, and we want to be as legal as possible. So to tell you the truth, this place is very interesting to us, and we've barely gotten in here.
All right. So you're talking about retailing up there, up north of the Arctic Circle?
Yes, basically retailing in the villages. And we could bring the prices down, I think, and make it more available, you know. And if you've got a place where you consider it like maybe not a bar, but like where people have to give an ID and they have to purchase things, do everything as legal as possible, and just let people enjoy themselves like they already are, but with you know, no police in their head, no in trouble or any of that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
People in the lower 48 have no idea how large Alaska is. Give them some idea. How far away is your area, and how expansive are we talking?
From Anchorage, we're 580 miles from where we live. The area, the borough that we live in, has, I think, 8,700 people. It's got 225,000 caribou. It's the size of Indiana, and it's spread out between 11 villages, and the major hub is Kotzebue, which has about 3,700 people. So you're talking a lot of land, a lot of animals, and very, very few people. So it's not going to be an exclusive idea that we've got, but we would like to hit each village and at least be able to provide, you know, the opportunity for people to get marijuana. And we've noticed in a lot of villages, especially with villages that have police enforcement that are pro-marijuana, you have a lot less arrests, a lot less domestic violence, a lot less people going nuts because they're stuck, you know, during the freeze up or the breakup. And, you know, people just chill out on weed. So if we can help mitigate, you know, the problems there with providing marijuana, that's what we want to do.
So, Chip, you're getting back to the show. Does it change how you go about your daily life, having these other people watching you with cameras and such?
Well, in a way, it does change things. But honestly, we raise 7 kids doing this exact same stuff, and having 4 adult cameramen, usually paired down to 1 when we're hunting. But, you know, the crew with us is like taking a bunch of adult kids. And they wipe their own butts and feed their own face. And when they get cold, they can put a jacket on without being told. So it's actually kind of a benefit. And then we get a compensation. And this year, the compensation finally got good. So we're kind of enjoying ourselves. The first time we've been to Anchorage in 6 or 7 years. And yeah, so we just wanted to come down and take care of a few things we had to take care of and enjoy the cannabis.
Well, let's do this. Let's enjoy the Northwest Cannabis Classic. Chip and Agnes, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us, and good luck on the show.
Yeah, never a problem, Russ. I hope to see you again.
All right. We're going back right after this. Stick around.